Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Erik Jensby. He's the head of membership and business development at BIMCO in Copenhagen. First and foremost, Erik, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much.
Erik, for our viewers that are not, let's say, familiar with BIMCO, and before you give an introduction to yourself, what is BIMCO in fact?
BIMCO is the largest shipping organization for owners, brokers, and agents worldwide. We are 1,900 plus members in 135 countries. And our backbone is our documentary work, where we do contracts and clauses for the shipping industry.
Okay. And when was BIMCO established?
We were established back in 1905, and we still have some of our founding members as our members, actually. So okay. They've been hanging around for a few years.
Okay, well then, speaking about networks, you certainly belong, let's say, to the senior networks.
Very much so, very much so.
Right, then I will turn to another question, which I normally always start my interviews with. What got you into shipping in the first place, and what is your distinguished career leading up to your current position, please?
Well, I came into shipping because I was looking for a interesting job with the international perspectives, basically. And I came into a liner agent here in Copenhagen for starters, and doing also overseas freight forwarding. So that was the beginning of it. And moved on to actually trading in timber for an old established Danish company as well, called EAC, which started out also a very old company. But at that time, trading in timber and mainly selling from West Africa to the Middle East. Mm-hmm. So had a big interest in the Middle East from that time on. And then I've been in container leasing, been managing director for a company called GECO.
Okay.
And then I moved into back into how can I say normal transportation and doing for ST Shipping DK in Denmark. I was the director for the Køge and Copenhagen office, where I was heading an office with that had a few coasters on charter. Mm-hmm. We were doing stevedoring, we were doing warehouses, we were doing agency, so a bit of everything. And actually also established an overseas freight forwarding department at that time, which was back in 2007. And it was quite tough actually at that time, actually just getting freights, because the freight rates at that time were in at the very high end of the market. Mm-hmm. And then I moved into a Maersk broker after that in their agency department, and did head of projects. Mm-hmm. Where we started out being involved in the always in the renewables business, doing marine logistics about installing offshore wind farms. Mm-hmm. So we're involved in installing three large wind farms in the North Sea, and from that on, I moved on here to BIMCO as head of business development, and then I also became head of the membership. So that's the whole string since 1990 of a good 30 years of shipping experience.
Well, it's like they say, isn't it? You can check out, but you can never leave.
That is certainly the case.
I must say, a very impressive career you've had, Erik, and you certainly have the right background. You tried a lot of different things. BIMCO as such, I mean, from my perspective here, I understand that it was mainly ship owners who joined BIMCO in the beginning, I suppose. But yeah. What can you tell me more about the advantages of being in BIMCO for, let's say, a normal freight forwarder or project freight forwarder sitting in Singapore? Why should he be in BIMCO? What can you do for him? Just a quick question like that.
Yeah, we do have a fair number of, especially on the freight forwarding business, because people are there tending to do their own GenCon or their own bill of ladings. And in these cases, they actually use our documents. Mm-hmm. So we have an editor where you can make sure you actually use an original BIMCO document where nothing has been tampered with. prime mm-hmm. thing is that you take out a liable from a not liable, or you insert that. So, which you never know if you take off a copy of the web. So you can actually use SmartCon as our editor to do original contracts and make sure you have that. That's a starter,
right?
And you can do that without being a member. But for members, we also have a department which we call support and advice, where we assist our members when they have disputes. So if you have a dispute, it can be on late time of demerit, it can be on when should you actually tender notice of readiness, and all these issues that do occur, whether it's a bill of lading or Gen Con or whatever type of heavy con, what type of contract you're using.
Yes.
We will be able to do a commercial assistance if you have a dispute with either your unknown or your charter or your shipper, and normally we'll be able to come back and we're in 24 hours with some sort of reply to this, and that I think is the main thing. And then we also have an apartment where you do KYC, where we can check our counterparts. So if you're having somebody who you don't know you're going to do business with, you can always call in and say, do you know XYZ shipping from Turkey or from Ecuador or something like that, and have you had any bad reports on them? And we also report when there is, you know, fraudulent behavior in various places. We keep up to date on our members. And in general, we keep all our members up to date on what's happening on the regulatory side. We're seeing now the IMO and the EU coming in with a lot of new regulation, which will have a big influence on the shipping industry going forward, relating to CII, Carbon Intensity Index, and EU ETS, where vessels going in and out of EU is going to be part of the trading scheme with carbon credits.
Okay.
And that was actually agreed last week by the Parliament, and it looks like the European Committee is going to look at it next week. So stuff like that, where we're updating on this and doing clauses which may need to be inserted if people also in this industry may have vessels on term charter that goes across. The 1st of January, where these things are looking to be implemented, then you need some sort of clauses to actually manage that, and who's going to pay, who's going to do what when you have these kind of contracts.
Okay.
So a lot on that side of things. The more practical side, we also have all these clauses, and you can get an explanatory notes. You know, why do you have to insert a sanctions clause in your bill of ladings or your charter parties? Because right now, with the story in Ukraine, there is a whole lot of companies that are being sanctioned, and you don't want to be caught dealing with a sanctioned counterpart.
No, definitely not. No, it seems to me that you seem to be the network really to go to, especially in a volatile world as we are in right now. And it seems all our politicians can only add to the rules. They never remove any.
Oh, no, that's for sure. There's no doubt that there is no absolute no doubt that the whole regulatory world around us is just going to be more and more strict and enforced. So there are going to be more and more administration related to this. There's no doubt about it.
And what would be a rough membership fee? Let's say I have a Bo Drewson forwarding company, as I mentioned, in Singapore with 10 employees. And we feel that we need to be part of an organization that has these, let's say, helpful tools also legally, because it seems to me that being a member in your network could save me the cost of a maritime lawyer.
Yeah, and the clock starts ticking as soon as you pick up the phone. Basically, we're looking at around €1,600 for a smaller freight forwarding company per annum. And depending on how many employees, but otherwise it'll be 1,800 if you're 10 employees in that region.
Okay.
That's the annual fee. And that's based on that. So it's compared to some of the if we can save people for a few hours of demurrage, then you actually been paying for the membership. That's like my normal go-to thing to say, actually. Especially these days when rates are extremely high, then you don't want too much of that.
Yeah, no, it makes a perfect sense. And BIMCO is, let's say, I always ask in my interviews, who owns you or who are the owners? BIMCO is an organization owned by the members combined, yes. Or is there a board or how?
Yeah, there is a board. There is a board and an executive committee. We have a daily CEO here who is appointed by the board, of course. The board is actually it's coming from our biggest member countries.
Okay.
Based on that, so the 20 biggest member countries have a seat on the board. Mm-hmm. So it's Greece, Japan, Singapore, Hong Kong, China, Denmark, Germany, these countries. They assign a CEO who's here on a normal contract, and then every 2 years we have a new president. Mm-hmm. Right now we have Sabrina Chow from Hong Kong, from Wakong Shipping Company, and that it was Shadan Kaptanuklu from Turkey, and the next one is going to be Nico Schuss, is coming from Leise Shipping in Hamburg. We have like a 2 year past designate president, yes. A 2 year president, 2 years past president. So they have a 6 year period where they run.
Okay.
But we're a not for profit organization. So we are owned by our members in that sense. And not that we, even though we were meant to make a profit, we wouldn't distribute them back to our members, but we the membership and the commercial interest that we have is in a separate company, but it all goes to give back to the members.
I can only say that I never heard any bad words about BIMCO around the world. So you seem to be doing a good job, and I do see your logo in the signature of most of the, let's say, well-reputed both forwarders, ship owners, liner agencies, and whatnot. And
exactly,
especially with this regulatory stuff coming in. I mean, it was supposed to be an easier world, but it seems to me that people are protecting themselves up the wazoo right these days, no matter what they say.
Yeah, that is true.
And would you say that out of your, what kind of percentage do you have of your, if you have 100% of your members, how much percentage would be forwarders, ship owners, chartering?
I think we have about 40% are owners.
Okay.
So just over 800. And then we have some 550 who are brokers, which is quite a substantial number.
Oh, yeah, a lot of brokers.
And that's where most of the freight forwarders actually come in. The freight forwarders that we do have within the membership is primarily in the project department. It's not the, how can I say, the average LCL, FCL freight forwarder doing Far East to Europe or something like that. That's not
right.
What we're looking at. We're looking at the ones who are out there, who are doing project cargoes, where you are different sorts of liabilities and actually also take the carrier responsibility sometimes with your own lading and your own charter party.
Yeah.
So that's where we see the benefit also for the members.
Absolutely. No, I know as a former project forwarder myself that you can end up between two chairs, between the ship owner and the shipper, and you have nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
Exactly.
So that's where you come in. This is really interesting. And you said you're headquartered in Copenhagen. Do you have any, we say, branch offices anywhere in the world?
We do indeed. We have in Athens, we have in London, we have in Singapore, we have in Shanghai, and 2 weeks ago we opened in Houston. And actually employed a very knowledgeable person from the Thomas Damsgaard from the heavy industry, from Scantrans, Clipper. He's been all these places before, so well versed in the project department.
That name certainly rings a bell, I will be in Houston for break bulk in Houston in September, so definitely we'll go and pay him a visit.
You should. We will actually have our official inauguration of the office at break bulk in Houston.
Oh, can you please ensure an invitation?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Now that now I do all this marketing for you.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But no problem.
That's kind, Eric. No, yeah. but listen, I think we have about in Project Cargo Weekly about 39,000 receivers every week, and of course many of them are ship owners, but most are forwarders.
Yeah.
Who read. And I think a lot of them would be interested in what you have to offer. And it seems to me that the membership fee is quite reasonable for what you get in the field of know-how and skills, and especially in these difficult times when, well, let's say it bluntly, ship owners are not really flexible. They have no need to be.
They're in a good spot at the moment.
Oh, I haven't seen it this good for years, I must admit. So.
No. I have just been at the Posidonia, which is an absolutely massive fair and congress in Athens, and I've never seen anything like it. They're in a good spot.
Oh yeah,
actually across the various segments, you look at containers, you look at MPPs, you look at the tanker, and also the bulkers, and they're all in a good spot.
Let's put it this way: it's the Bollinger champagne that James Bond likes to drink. It's not cheap one.
It was not the Carver or Prosecco or anything like that. It was the proper champagne.
Yeah, exactly. Shaken, not stirred. Yes.
Yeah.
But that's very good, Eric. I want to say this has been very interesting, and I think a lot of our viewers will definitely be interested to see this interview.
Yeah, but they can just reach out, and we'll be happy to let them know what we can offer, and we're always ready for a call or an email exchange or Teams or Zoom, so
excellent,
they can
Eric.
Just reach out, so that's fine.
Then I want to say really formally many, many thanks to you on this beautiful Friday, which I guess it also is in Copenhagen.
Indeed it is.
So to all our listeners, viewers and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. And our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Eric Jensby. He's the head of membership and development for BIMCO in Copenhagen. And we thank you. And please stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you very much.